Hey y'all, thanks for coming back to listen to another Friday episode of Kudzu Killers, Homicide, and Sweet Tea.
I'm Lark, and that other voice you hear is Kim. For the next 15 minutes or so, we hope to bring y'all an interesting tidbit about crime, or a story we feel you'll like but just doesn't have enough information available for a full episode.
We hope you enjoy these tasty morsels of good old Southern Gothic mayhem.
So sit back, grab your glass of iced tea, relax, and enjoy yourself. So now, on with the show.
Welcome back to another episode of Kudzu Killers, Homicide, and Sweet Tea. It's Forensic Friday.
Woohoo! Hey, Kim!
Hey, Lark. Any big plans for the weekend?
Let's see. There are three gigs scheduled for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, yeah. So, lots.
You going to them? No. You going to venture out with your mask and go to them?
No. I'm really horrible. I mean, I should be supportive,
You're being safe. I'm not ready for that.
And he just gonna have to do that on his own and bring the paycheck home, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. Sure.
So I'm happy that the bands are playing, but I'm really on the fence about, you know, if it's right, if it's wrong. But, you know, when things affect you directly, sometimes it's hard to be unbiased, but anyway, so I'm actually kind of looking forward to the whole year being over. Good golly, Miss Molly.
Man. I know, it's been a year. 2020. We'll all remember it, I think.
I know. I know. I have this in my head that as soon as the date changes, things are going to just get better.
If only that were the truth. We can all hope, right?
Yep, we're going to put that out there, and because we say it is so, right?
That's okay.
Yeah. This is the way we roll here. We say it, and it happens, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I'll just say okay. Okay, Lark. Whatever you say.
Well, Lark is the, like, complete shoot for the stars, go big or go home, total optimist. Nothing's going to thwart me. And Kim sometimes is my voice of reason, which I appreciate. I love you, man.
I'm the more
practical, yeah. Pragmatic, yeah, realistic.
Practical. Yeah, I guess that's what you'd call it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm forever the gypsy hippie chick in black boots. So, what can I say?
Anyway,
so hey, what have you got for us today?
Well, I am going to talk about a little piece of forensic equipment that they're starting to use now that's really promising for DNA detection, guys. This is really cool. It's helped solve a couple of cold cases, at least a couple, in my research. And it's a little vacuum system that can vacuum up DNA in tiny, tiny amounts until it amasses enough that they can actually do complete DNA testing with
what
they get.
That's pretty awesome.
So, yeah, I'm going to tell you a couple of cases that they've worked on with it, and then we'll talk about how it works. But it's really cool. Of course, I'm a sciencey person, so I think anything like that's really cool. But
but it is cool because, you know, back in the day, if somebody picked up a rock, what are you going to get off the rock? Nothing.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it deals with.
Awesome.
Because on December 15th of 1995, 17-year-old Crystal Lynn Beslanovich of Salt Lake City, she was a part-time prostitute there. But she was hanging out at a motel with her boyfriend, and she's left and told him she was going to go get something to eat at the Circle K down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Her boyfriend got really worried when she didn't return right away because she'd done this before and she'd just go down. She'd be back in a few minutes with her bag of chips and her Coke or whatever she was going to get there, right?
Right.
So he called 911 and reported it. He went and looked for her everywhere. He retraced where he thought she would have gone. He went to the Circle K. He didn't have a car, so mm-hmm. he couldn't take off in a car to go chase her down. So he went and searched everywhere he could think of that she might be, and he didn't find her.
Aww.
The next morning, she was found face down on the bank of the Provo River near Aww. Midway, Utah. She'd been bludgeoned to death with rocks.
An oldie but a goodie, rocks.
Yep. Investigators followed all the leads they could. They used all the technology they had in 1995, but the amount of DNA they could collect from the rocks and the scene wasn't enough to do a proper DNA analysis at the time with the technology they had. But these detectives said, let's keep all this evidence secured and stored properly. And, you know, they're coming up with new stuff all the time. We'll see if the DNA, they can get something more in the future, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing when back on September 14th, 1964, in Albany, New York, 1964, guys, 50-year-old Catherine Blackburn was raped, murdered, and mutilated. Oh. There was plenty of physical evidence at the scene, but they couldn't figure out who the killer might be from what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, DNA didn't exist back then, the testing.
Right.
They only had a suspect who was a tenant in her home upstairs that she kind of felt weird about. But police, again, held on to the evidence all these years, these decades and decades later, just in case someday they'd be able to track down the killer. And they were pretty sure he'd done this before and would probably do it again, just by the circumstances of the case.
Right.
And then again, on December 4th, 1977, 16-year-old Sharon Licia Schollmeyer was living on her own at 16, in an apartment in Salt Lake City. She was an emancipated teenager, meaning she'd gotten free of her parents and gotten a clerk to declare she was an adult.
Interesting. That's a whole nother story, apparently.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a job, and she lived on her own in an apartment. But she hadn't been feeling secure in that apartment and had planned on moving. It was in a kind of a seedier part of town, because that's what she could afford. But mm-hmm. she and her mom had been looking at apartments for her to move to once her lease was up.
Right.
One day, Sharon, or Licia as they like to call her, her mom got a call from her work telling her she hadn't shown up.
Mm-mm.
So her mom went to her apartment to check on her and found her naked in the bathtub, gagged and blindfolded and suffocated to death.
Oh, no.
The case went cold, but once again, the detectives on the case made sure the evidence was set aside for the future, just in case. So all these cases came back into the spotlight in recent years, since about 2013, due to this new technology, this tiny little gadget that functions like a sterile wet vac. So it's like your, you know, your carpet cleaner. It shoots out water and it sucks it up.
That's cool.
But the MVAC is one of the newest tools. That's what it's called, the MVAC, being used to help solve cold cases where there's not enough DNA that could be collected for modern testing.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah. The MVAC works, like I said, by shooting a jet of sterile collection solution out onto the surface of whatever object they're looking at. So if they got a rock, it shoots some of this liquid on the rock and sucks it right back up immediately into a sterile collection tube.
Wow. That is kind of just, I mean, I'm not the scientist you are, but I mean, it almost seems like it seems like common sense. Like, wow, why didn't they think of this sooner? Makes sense, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess they didn't have nobody invented the technology until this company did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in her case, they took one of those rocks that was used to kill her. And this little thing works really well on porous surfaces and rough surfaces like rocks and clothing. And it was able to collect enough DNA through that system, way more than they could by swabbing it.
Mm-hmm.
So those granite rocks that they had provided enough DNA for them to do their testing. So in 2013, the detectives submitted that evidence, and the VAC was used to collect DNA, touch DNA, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's left over from your hands, you know, your fingers and your hands, the little minute, whether you know it or not, little minute cells come off of your hands whenever you touch something.
Like what's all over your cell phone.
Yes, exactly. that ooey gooey stuff that you leave on your cell phone screen. Blah!
So clean your cell phones, people. Yuck.
But they were able to collect enough DNA to do a full profile of the person who they thought murdered Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
After entering that information in CODIS, that DNA database that you see on CSI, the name of Joseph Michael Simpson, 46, formerly of Clearwater, Utah, popped up.
Ah.
He'd been convicted of second-degree murder in 1987 and had gotten out on parole after less than 8 years.
Go figure.
In April of 1995.
Wow.
And by December, he'd murdered Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
In 2013, he was living in Florida. Where else? They all go to Florida, right?
Hello, I say.
Where he was a truck driver in Florida. God. The jury convicted him of murder and sentenced him to life in prison. So, yay.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm telling you. This is really cool. The MVAC was also instrumental in solving Sharon's murder, or Alicia's murder, by collecting DNA from the clothing that couldn't be sampled beforehand using the swab methods and things like that, which was the halter top that she'd been gagged with.
Aww.
Now, this data also led to a CODIS hit nearly 40 years later in 2017, or 2016, actually, I think.
Wow! Awesome.
And it resulted in the arrest of the apartment building manager, Patrick McCabe.
Oh my goodness.
Who was the one who let the mother in the apartment when she couldn't get in because she didn't have a key. And also, he was the person who called 911 to report the murder.
What an evil bee, man. Oh my goodness.
And he was living in, any guesses?
He was living downstairs.
He was living in Florida.
Oh my goodness. You know what? I'm just going to say this and y'all can vilify me if you want, but I'm going to say that all the nuts roll downhill and they all roll down to Florida.
Well, I mean, you can speak sort of because that's where you lived for a long time.
But yeah, I can speak. I can speak it just, yeah.
Well, he was living in Bell, Florida at the time of his arrest in December of 2016. And he's since been convicted and sentenced to two consecutive life terms of 5 years to life. 5 years?
That's, oh
my God. He had seen Alicia go into her apartment and it was late. He'd gone back to his apartment and his girlfriend was asleep. And so he just decided to do this. He decided to go rape her. And, you know, he realized after he raped her that she could identify him. And so he killed her.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I'm a little bored. I think I'll step out for a minute or two.
He seems at least remorseful. He did write a letter to her family that said, you know, he was sorry for what he'd done and if he could do it over again. Well, I'm sure if he could do it over again.
Yeah, you're sorry because you got caught, dude. I never believed those things. Do you believe those things?
Not really, no.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
But the last case we're going to briefly touch on is that of 50-year-old Catherine Blackburn. She was a pretty independent lady. She was married, but she lived separately from her husband in her own house with an upstairs tenant renting out the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
And friends said she was a little leery of the tenant at the time of her murder. Back in July of this year, detectives in Albany, New York, where this happened, decided to send the bloody sheet that had been found at the scene with a handkerchief rolled up in it to a California DNA lab that uses the MVAC system.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to produce a DNA profile. And as we speak, that profile is being compared with that of other cold cases across the country from the same time period that may have a similar MO, like postmortem mutilation, and he posed her body in a crucifix position.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at that right now. I couldn't find anything about them catching anyone yet, but they're working on it. And it's so old, that person's probably dead at this point, I would guess.
Yeah, but it's closure. It's closure for somebody's family or, you know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's way down the road, you know, when people are doing their genealogy and stuff and they wonder, well, you know, I mean,
what happened to Aunt Catherine?
I mean, to be honest, my mom had a really good friend that they all worked in their lab with, and her mom was murdered in a dinky little town outside in Texas, and no one ever found the guys.
Right.
So, you know, it's just you want to know what happened, even if, you know, you wanted them caught, obviously, but you just want to know.
Right, exactly. Now, the Philadelphia Police Department has been testing this system, and it was developed by MVAC Systems, Inc. You can look them up at MVAC.com, and if you want to read more about it and some more of the cases they've worked on, it's pretty
mm-hmm.
cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, so far, it's far superior than any of the other collection procedures like swabbing and things like that. They can get much larger sample of DNA from different porous objects and places where a swab can't really get to or where it can't really get in and collect as much DNA as possible. So, of course, this makes it much easier for the DNA testing labs to get a full DNA profile that can be compared in CODIS and find these murderers and rapists. Like I said, if you'd like to know more about MVAC systems, you can check it out at m-vac.com. It's a pretty cool gadget. It's not a tiny thing. There's a big vacuum system similar, if any of you are science lab people, similar to what I used to use to desiccate samples in the lab. It's a big vacuum, mm-hmm. big square machine. That's hooked up to a hose, and there's a little handheld device at the end that dispenses the sampling reagent and immediately sucks it back up into the sterile collection tube, like I said. So it's not something that every police department or coroner is going to have anytime soon or ever. I don't think they'd want to, really.
It sounds expensive, yeah.
It is, I'm sure. But they're able to send that evidence. There's a lot of testing labs, DNA testing labs, who have purchased this equipment so that they can mm-hmm. use it to analyze crime scene evidence. And so they can send this evidence to this testing labs who have this device and get it tested and at least get a profile to work with. So right. I'm hoping this is used more in the future by law enforcement agencies across the country because, you know, it's getting harder and harder to kill somebody and get away with
good.
It.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, and get away with it. I mean, they're going to always be killing each other for whatever reason because they're not thinking that one through. But this is so incredibly exciting because
Yeah,
I mean, it's just a trail. It's just one more thing in the trail back to the big story.
Mm-hmm. I just thought it was really cool. I just ran across it when I was looking for a case to work on. And I saw Crystal's case and I said, wow, that's what they used to find out who killed her. She has an interesting story on her own that we may do one of these days. She wasn't going by her own name. She was going by her sister's name. Her boyfriend actually didn't know her real name. He knew her sister's name, but he thought that was her name. So when he called it in, people were confused, you know, that's a whole other story we'll get to one of these days. That's it.
That was cool. I'm so, it's just becoming more and more impressive what they can do.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And even though it does sound like a simple idea, you know, it's kind of like, oh, why didn't we think of that? It makes so much sense, you know, suck it up with that sterile water and then break it down, right?
I don't know if it's water. It's probably some other kind of reagent, but.
Right. But the solution is, so that at least you know what to start breaking it down. So interesting, Kim.
Yay.
You're awesome.
I try.
Oh, no, you don't have to try. We all know Kim's awesome.
What do you want, Lark?
I don't want nothing. Let's see. It is almost Christmas, right? It is almost Christmas. Let me whip out my list. But on that note, I do hope you guys are having a wonderful holiday. Please be safe.
Be safe and be happy and keep that mask on, guys.
Keep your mask on.
I know some of you don't believe in it, but, you know, you're not just talking for you. You're talking for everybody that comes in contact with you, including your granny. So wear that mask. Come on.
Just be kind and think of other people. So anyway.
Have a great weekend and we will see you back on Tuesday where Lark will have something to tell us about.
Yeah, Lark will have something. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye, y'all.